I'd like to thank everybody for coming today in the honor of Lord Ramadev.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Today is the auspicious appearance of Vamadev. In the Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas, it mentions the pastimes of the Lord at different times. Described in the various Shastras. So in this Manvantara, this is the Vaivashtra Manvantara, Vamadev appeared. And it's interesting that he defeated Bali Maharaj. But it's interesting to note that in the next Manvantara, that Bali Maharaj, he will be Indra. This Manvantara, he's the enemy of Indra. But next that Manvantara, he himself will be Indra. We'll find out why that is. Of course, Bali Maharaj, the Lord often, he appears to perform so many activities at once. He's not just one dimensional personality. It's described in Shastra, he's a genius. So genius means that he's able to perform, by performing one activity, many goals are accomplished. There's a little bit of echo. There's a little bit of an echo side here. Many activities, by one activity, many goals get accomplished. So, Bali Maharaj, by some family feud, was an enemy of the Adityas. Even though his grandfather was a great devotee of the Lord. He was Prahlad Maharaj, great devotee of the Lord. Even his father Virochana, he gave his life to the Devas, even though that they were Devas, he still offered charity to them. Because he came from a very pious background, unlike his great-great-grandfather, Hiranyakashipu, who was very, very demonic. So he was a different sort. But still he was inimical toward the Devas, and he was fighting them. Some of his friends were not so saintly as he was. Kalanini. And Kalanini came next life when he was born as Kamsa. So there's not all are so good. But anyway, there was a very big battle, and Bali Maharaj was killed. He was killed by Indra. The Devas won the day. But his friends brought him back, and Shukracharya, the Bhrigus, he revived Bali Maharaj, and any asura whose body was still in one piece. And if you had an arm missing or a head missing or you're cut in half, they couldn't do anything for you. But Shukracharya, if your body was still in one piece, he could revive you via Mrityu Sanjeevan. He could bring you back to life. And so this way he brought back Bali Maharaj back to life. And because of this, naturally Bali Maharaj was very grateful to Shukracharya. And he brought him back to life. And he was not just brought back to life, he was completely whole, and he was vigorous and full of energy, and by the blessings of Shukracharya he became very prosperous. So he, because of this, he was exceedingly grateful and loyal to, you know, Bali, to Shukracharya, as one should be to somebody who has saved your life. You should be grateful. You know, that's just natural. Manu says that ingratitude is equivalent to brahmahatya. If somebody does something for you and you're not grateful, that is same as brahmahatya, killing a Brahmin. Very simple idea. So, everybody should turn their phones off, or turn their, at least turn the ringer off, please. Or there will be a fine. So, here, so therefore, Bali Maharaj began to worship his guru and his followers, and because of this, he acquired great blessings from his guru. This is one of the important lessons that we're going to learn from this Leela, the importance of getting the blessings of your guru. Well, thank you. So by this blessing the Shukracharya and then performing the Vishvajit Yajna, then Bali Maharaj was complete splendor. He had all celestial weapons, celestial chariot, everything celestial. He was so powerful that when he came to Indrapuri, the place where Indra lives, just taking one look at him and his army, Indra knew that it's not possible to win. So he went to his guru, Brihaspati, and he asked him, what should we do? What is in our best interest? Then Brihaspati said, the time factor, everything is against you. If you try to fight against Bali Maharaj, it would be a complete disaster. So don't do it. You just go and leave and hide somewhere. Just hide. So they, because they had Kamarupa, they could, by their desire, they could change form, so they just left Indrapuri. They left. And they just, by default, Bali Maharaj acquired the whole kingdom. Very beautiful place. It's described in Bhagavatam. So, he was enjoying, like, he was enjoying his, administering the whole universe. But the mother of the devas, Aditi, was very disappointed. Because, of course, Bali Maharaj is the not her family. She is the descendant of her sister-in-law, of one of her co-wives, Diti. So that's one of the problems when you have many wives, is that they may not always get along with each other. And then it creates internal family discord. So this was the case with Diti and Aditi, that they're, it's like Kadru and Vinata. Their descendants are now eternal enemies of each other. Vinata's children, son, Garuda, and Kadru's children, the Nagas. So they're not on good terms. They used to be, but no, they're not, because of the discord between the two ladies. So similarly with Diti and Aditi, because of some envy, that one had children, the other one didn't have children. Same thing with Gandhari and Kunti. She wanted so many sons. So sometimes this, we see that many time places in the Bhagavatam, like the son of Chitraketu, because the other wives didn't have any children, they killed him. Because the wife who had the son was now prominent. So same thing here. Diti and Aditi, they were having a competition with each other. And their children were also competing. They became inimical to each other. So the Adityas, they are considered devas, and the Daityas are Daityas, asuras. But it's not that always just because of the bloodline that it's cut and dried, that they all have to be asuras, because we see in the case of Prahlad and now in the case of Bali, they're both of them are Mahajanas, great devotees of the Lord. Of the nine processes of devotion, two are named after these two. Whereas Indra, who is supposedly going to be the gaining in this, he actually was, he tried to kill all the residents of Vrindavan, right? And his younger brother, Upendra, never stays with him. His younger brother goes always staying with Bali. So who got the blessings here, you know? So anyway, he had captured the kingdom, but Aditi was very despondent because now the mother wants to have the shelter of her children. They're all gone. They no longer have any glory. Because the parent liked to have vicarious pleasure through their children. If their child becomes a doctor or becomes very wealthy, the son may have a PhD and the parent may not be able to write, but they're very proud. Because vicariously the achievement comes to the parent. So similarly, Aditi was feeling greatly distressed because her children had been driven out. So when Kashyapa Muni came back from out of his samadhi, and he came back to his each of his wives had, he had many ashrams with each wife tending each ashram, keeping the wives as separate as possible. So he came back to Aditi's ashram, and it was completely a scene of lamentation and mourning. So when he made inquiry, he found out about this catastrophe, and he was just astonished at how much the power of Vishnu's Maya was so prominent that everybody, even in such high status, that the mother is attached to her children. It's the same as if the dog is attached to its puppies, and even in Aditi's attachment, this parental attachment is so strong, is Maya. So he tried to dissuade her with philosophy. She didn't want to have anything to do with the philosophy. She wanted to get revenge. So he said, how can I get, you know, my position back to my children? How can I get them reestablished? So he began to explain that the process of the Payavrata ceremony, which was taught to him by his grandfather, so that he could be a Prajapati. So that's how to get and have good children. So he taught to her the Payavrata ceremony, which is supposed to be done in the Shukla Paksha of Palgun Mas, which would be like, you know, five or 6 months from now. So you, every day for 12 days, the person that is just living on milk and doing very elaborate worship of the Lord, having kirtan, distributing prasadam to the Vaishnavas and Brahmins, you know, the whole elaborate process is done. So then she did that, completely faithful to the words of her guru, who is Kashyapa Muni is her guru, her husband is a Pati guru. But then when she did that, then Lord Vishnu appeared in front of her, Chaturbhuj Narayan. And he explained that, of course, when that happened, she was in complete ecstasy. Her hair was standing on end, she was crying, she couldn't even speak. She just remained silent. But then after she was able to speak a little bit, Lord Vishnu said, I understand your mind. You want your children to come back. You want the wives of the demons to weep because their husbands are dead. You know, he listed all the things that she wanted, which is, you know. He said, don't worry, I will come. You know, I will come to your son. But you keep this a secret. Those things which are kept in confidence, they will have success. Don't tell anybody that I've appeared. You just meditate upon me as being inside of your husband, and then you will become with child. Like that. So then, so she did, then she became with child, and then eventually on the Dwadasi day, when the moon is in Shravan, moon is in Shravana Nakshatra, at the time of the Abhijit Muhurta. So Abhijit Muhurta is when there's a local noon time, when the sun is directly overhead, so one Muhurta before and one Muhurta, no, it's no. One Gati before and one Gati after, making a total of one Muhurta, that is the Abhijit Muhurta. 24 minutes before the noon and 24 minutes after noon, local mean time. So that would be a, in Bangalore, that would be something like about 5 minutes after 12 to about 12:50, something like that. That's the Abhijit Muhurta, local mean time. Then he appeared as a young, as a dwarf. Bhamana means dwarf. So Kapila means albino. Kapila Dev was pure white, albino. Blonde hair, white skin, pink eyes. That's Kapila. That's why he's called Kapila Dev. So similarly, Bhamana Dev is called Bhamana Dev because he's a dwarf and also a boy. Even dwarfs are boys. So then, he was ecstatically beautiful. All of the devas and his parents, they all offered him some charity. They all offered him some gifts. Right, and then, as a brahmachari is supposed to do, he went asking bhikshu. And his mother gave him the first. Because when you according to Manu, when the brahmachari goes for the first time for begging, he should go to some relative who will give him something, and that he should be disappointed on the first try. He should get something the first time, so he's encouraged to continue. He might not get something later, but at least on the first time, he should go to somebody who's guaranteed to give him something. But then, getting everything, his skin and his danda and his kamandalu and his munja grass and his scorpions and everything. Then Bali went to Bhrigu Kacha, which is known as what now? Somebody's phone. He went to where the Bhrigus, Shukacharya and the Bhrigus, because Shukacharya descended of Bhrigus, he's a Bhargava. The Bhargavas were doing their yajnas in Bhrigu Kacha. Where is that? Anybody know? Broch, Gujarat. Broch, Gujarat is Bhrigu Kacha. So he went there in his small form, but very beautiful, effulgent, golden complexion, extremely cute. Then you see these little boys, you know, they're very, you can't help but, you know, you want to hug them and kiss them because they're so beautiful. We're going to speak of Vamanadeva, who is the Lord. Like when Krishna, in the Brahma Mohana Leela, Krishna replaced all the cowherd boys and stolen caps with his own form. He replaced their forms. So the mothers of the parents of the calves of the children, the boy, the parent, the mother and father, and the mothers of the calves, though they were naturally loved their child, when now it was Krishna in the form of their child, they were in ecstasy. They couldn't understand why they were so much more. Balaram was wondering why there's over exuberant show of affection from the parents of the calves and the boys. That's because he's Krishna. He labeled that it must be Krishna who's doing this. So the same way Vamanadeva is. Though young boys at that age are always very attractive, he was even more attractive and effulgent. So he stopped the whole show. When he appeared there, everybody just stopped and they were like trying to deduce who he was. But then, Bali Maharaj, being a very pakka follower of Varnashram, he wanted to give some dakshin, a Brahmin. Because a Brahmin is not, his seniority is not determined by how big he is, right? You know that in the when Alabanda was debating with the Rajguru of Travancore, the Pandyas, I guess I can't remember what it was. Anyway, so the Rajguru, he was having a debate with them, so the Rajguru said, well, I'll ask you some questions first. And he asked him very simple questions, like, you know, what's 2 plus 2, you know, very simple, you know, because he's only a young boy, like 8 or 9. So he asked him very simple questions, you know, from simple grammar, simple arithmetic, and then Alabanda replied that, I can see from the questions that you're asking, you are deducing a scholar about on the basis of how big he is. And if that is the case, then a water buffalo would be a bigger pundit than you, because he's much bigger than you. But that is now how you determine the strength of the pundit, not by how big he is, but by how much he knows. Because Manu explains that among Brahmins, the most senior is the one who has the most knowledge, not how big. Amongst Kshatriyas, the one who has the most power. And amongst Vaishyas, with the biggest bank balance, that is the most senior one. And amongst Shudras, by age, that's how you determine who's the... Yeah. But amongst Vaishnavas, there's a whole other criteria, which Sanatan Goswami explains that in the first canto, first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that that you can determine who is the most senior Vaishnava, but by the how much mercy they have achieved from the Lord, that is the most senior Vaishnava. So then he explains that you go along that line, that the most that is Radharani, because she has achieved the most mercy. Prahlad and Bali Maharaj also mentioned Vamadeva, but they're in the middle. But Radharani at the top, because she has achieved the most mercy from the Lord. So Bali wanted to give some type of offering to Vamadeva, but Vamadeva said, I just want 3 steps of land according to my measure of my steps. And he only has very small feet. So Bali Maharaj was thinking, sort of in a slightly insulting way, says that it's not very intelligent. Here, I am the emperor of the universe, and I can give you anything, and you're only asking for something very small. I can give you anything. Ask for more. So Vamanadeva said, well, if some person can't be satisfied with what he gets, then, you know, he's never satisfied. He's a poor person. Like somebody, if somebody's very poor but is satisfied with what they have, then they're wealthy. But if you're a billionaire, multi-billionaire, and you're not satisfied, it means you don't have enough. That means you're actually you're poverty stricken. Because if you don't have enough, that means you're poor. But if you have enough, then you're rich. So I'm satisfied with what I get. So finally, after some philosophical discussion, Bali Maharaj was going to give him, I'll fulfill your desire. But Shukracharya, he could understand. As Krishna says in the Gita, that of the advisors, he is Ushan. Ushan or Kavi. Anyway, he means he's referring to Shukracharya. He's the best of the advisors. So he's tried to advise Bali that this is just Vishnu in disguise. If you do anything, he'll cheat you completely. And Bali is saying, well, you taught me that Vishnu is the supreme. Like this, you know. He was always mentioning the glories of Vishnu. Therefore, I should worship him. I should do something, no matter what. Because he said that the most important thing, the only thing that lives after us is what? What lives after we die? What did Bali Maharaj say? Our reputation. That lives on after we die. So therefore, at all costs, we should preserve our reputation. So I have my family, and I have a very good reputation for giving charity to the Brahmins. We don't want that to be destroyed. This is a For those who have been honored, you know, dishonor is worse than death. You want to have your reputation tarnished. So, specifically among Kshatriyas, this is a very big deal. They don't want, you know, they live by their reputation. So, and that's why it says that in the, as long as they are being spoken of, those great, those glorious kings are living in Swarga. As soon as people stop talking about them, they're finished. As long as people are still, that means you have to have a very big reputation for people to still be talking about you after so long. So he was going to give, he had a disagreement with Shukracharya. Because Brihaspati said, as soon as he has had, Bali has this power because he pleased his guru. Right? As long as you are pleasing your guru and pleasing the Brahmins, then you will be blessed. But as soon as he will lose everything, as soon as he loses the protection of his guru, as soon as he insults them, then everything will be lost. So then, Bali, he had a disagreement with his guru because Shukracharya was somewhat materialistic, and he was thinking, well, if Bali gives everything to Vishnu, what's going to be left for me? Right? Not thinking that Vishnu, everything is unlimited. He's thinking in a very materialistic way, that thinking that everything is thinking small as opposed to big, in a big way. So he said, no, don't give anything, because I won't have anything. You won't be able to give me any charity to give everything away. Not realizing that he should have realized from his own preaching that if you give to Vishnu, you get unlimited things in return. So then, when he went to offer, to seal his promise, he wanted to offer some water. But no water came out of the Kamandalu. Because Shukracharya, he had employed his anima siddhi, and it entered into the stem of the Kamandalu and blocked the water from coming out. At which point, Bali took a straw and unplugged the Kamandalu, and in so doing, Shukracharya lost his right eye. That is why in astrology, that if Venus, if Shukra is not placed well, the person will have eye problems, specifically the right eye. But then he made his promise, at that point, Vamanadeva changed his form. So he turned into the Vishvarupa, and with three steps as Trivikram, with two steps he took everything. And now there's only one step left, and he said, "Now you've broken, you've broken your promise. You know, I covered. We're going to put my third step." So at this point, Bali said, "You just put it on my head." That is why in the nine paths of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Vandanam, Archanam, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Atmanivedanam. So, by Shravanam, Prahlad achieved perfection. By Kirtanam, Shukadev Goswami achieved perfection. By Shravanam, Smaranam, Prahlad, he achieved perfection. By Padasevanam, Lakshmi Devi achieved perfection. That's four, right? Then, by Vandanam, who achieved perfection? Anybody know? Akrura. Akrura achieved perfection by prayer. Then by Dasyam, Hanuman achieved perfection. Archanam? By Archanam. Archanam, Prithu. Prithu Maharaj achieved perfection by Archanam. Then comes Sakyam. Arjun achieved perfection through Sakyam. And by Atman Nivedanam, by offering his very life, Bali he achieved perfection. Because he offered himself. And what more can you offer? He offered his very life, his soul, everything that he had, he offered. So in this way, Vamanadev became very pleased with him. And he then, with great love and affection, he arrested Bali. He tied him up. He was tied up because he could, he was kind of joking with him because he didn't fulfill his promise and so many different things. He tied him up. And then of course his wife came and offered, she did her duty and she asked for some intercession. And then eventually, Vamanadeva awarded Bali a place in Suttala. Yeah, Suttala, in the lower heavenly planetary regions, a place much better than Indra had. And he asked Vishvakarma, do you create a residence for Bali which will never have any inauspiciousness, no problems? And Vishvakarma is one of the authors of Vastu Shastra. So he created, according to Vastu, a very nice place for him. And in Bali, he became the doorman of Bali Maharaj. From Vamadeva, he became the doorman. What does Bali Mardan mean? Huh? I think that's what that means. That's the name of Vamadeva, Bali Mardan. And in this way, later, Indra was complaining that even though he's Indra Nuja, my younger brother, I never see him. He's always with Bali Maharaj. As a servant, he became the servant of Bali because everything was offered. So what more can he do? Well, how can Vamanadeva repay him? But he became the servant of Bali Maharaj. So on this day, and of course, in celebration of this, in Kerala, today is Onam, for festivities in regard to Bali Chakravarti. This is their New Year's Day in Kerala. So on today, we want to remember Vamanadeva. We are the only temple in ISKCON which has a Vamana Murti. And then we have facilities. We'll build a separate temple for him. A bigger. He can become very big, very large, ever expanding. But we'll try to keep it within bounds. He's in the employee of the legal office. The legal office sponsored this feast. They gave the money. So we should pray to Lord Vamanadeva for the reason he came, he's residing here. He's helping us with our legal problems. So we should pray to him that our legal problem in regards to the lawsuit which will be coming into the Supreme Court at the end of this month, beginning of next month, will be favorable to us. Of course, Vamanadeva has a way of, the Lord has a way of working in a way which is everything is perfect, comes in a perfect way. Not necessarily the way we envision. We can't try to think that it's not possible, or you try to think about how Krishna can do something according to our logic. He can arrange for things which are just unimaginable to us, and it works. We just pray to him. Don't think about how it can be done or how it can't or why it can't be done. Just pray, and then Vamadeva will take care of the rest. We just have to provide the devotion. So any questions or comments? Additions? Marishanari, anything to say? What is next on the program? What is next on the program? Artik, what is the schedule? Can we find out when is it going to be the arti? The offering now. Okay, then we can continue kirtan then. That was the lila. I asked it. That is what happened in the lila. Okay, well, one thing I can say, the point we should notice from this is that Bali Maharaj, we can all learn, by pleasing the Guru, then all success is there. The first, after Bhakti Siddhanta, after he took sannyas, and he started what then became known as the Gaudiya Math, because it was a different name, then it became as the Gaudiya Math. The first thing he did was, when it came to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance, which is tomorrow, he had it very grand. No expense was spared. Hundreds of mounds of rice, and very opulent worship of the Guru. And from that point on, because he pleased Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there was never any shortage. Never any shortage for his mission. When his dream appeared, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jagat Babaji, Gorkishore, all and the Goswamis saying, "You will have everything. Land, money." And he was just a skinny sannyasi, just a sadhu living in a hut. He would chant he was doing his vrata, chanting 192 rounds every day. If there was a hole in the roof, he didn't have time to fix it, he just put an umbrella inside the house. They kept his chanting. Very, very, very simple life. Yet, by pleasing his guru, everything came to him. And also, by displeasing, then complete chaos. And so by pleasing the guru and the Brahmins, Bali achieved the universe. He became the monarch of the whole creation. And by displeasing, he lost everything. But because of the way he lost, it wasn't because it was a special situation, because he also pleased Krishna at the same time. He actually got something better. And in the next lifetime, in the next Manvantara, he himself will become Indra. The next Manvantara. So the important point is being very choosing the right guru, and then after you make that decision, to be very loyal to that guru. Very, very loyal. Then there will be all success or failure. All success or failure will be that we can see. And may not the success may not come immediately, and simultaneously the failure may not come immediately. It's like if you go outside, right, and you pick a leaf off a plant. It's still green. Does it immediately turn brown? Does it immediately dry up? Does it immediately crumble? No. Because it has been separated from its source of sustenance, it becomes dried up, it turns brown, and it crumbles. Just a matter of time. So that's what happens when you remove yourself, when you offend your guru. That is the result. You become dried up. It's a matter of time. A matter of time. And we are seeing that happening before our eyes in some cases. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vamadev Ki Jai. How many names of Vamanadev do you know? Trivikram. Okay. Vamanadev, Trivikram. Urukram. Urukram.
Upendra is his brother.
Huh?
Upendra is his brother.
Upendra. Indranuja. think Bali Mardan. I think Bali Mardan is one of his names. I'll have to check that out. Not sure what Mardan means. But it must be good. It was fine. Hare Krishna.